and interpret his tongues, and you know, gives a psalm, I should see that as God telling me I can do the same, right? Are we together? So, actually, in Holy Ghost meetings, you know, you are not supposed to come with any prepared notes, but I've prepared something little, not something much at all. And the reason why I did this is because there are a few folks here who have never been to a Holy Ghost meeting, and so, you know, it's to help their receptivity. So those of you who have ever been to a Holy Ghost meeting, in this meeting, this is the teaching is because of you. Amen. Because, you know, we don't want anyone occupying the room of the unlearned. Okay. So this evening I'd like to look at a few things. Amen. And I would like you to do something for me while we teach. I'd have you pray in tongues under your breath. So everyone, pray in tongues under your breath while the teaching is going on. Okay? So now, I didn't say don't pay attention to the teaching as it's coming to you, but pray under your breath. Come on, everyone. Under your breath. Under your breath. Let it not be audible, so audible that I can hear you, but be praying under your breath. Okay? In tongues. How many of us are here with expectations? Just a few hands. Okay? So, we said this is a Holy Ghost meeting. And, you know, a senior minister said something that really blessed me. You know, he said that when you see Christian meetings where the glory of God seems to be much more in demonstration than in other meetings, it's actually the function of the people there. Are we together? So the power and the glory that we see in a Christian meeting is actually a function of the people there. So if they've not been taught properly, they'll be waiting for something to happen when they should be the one causing things to happen. Because we've seen so far that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, right? He works in us, right? And the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each of us, right? So we are not waiting, in quote, for a move of God. Amen? In a Holy Ghost meeting, you would have to be deliberate. Are we together? So you deliberate to do what you see everyone else doing. Amen? Are we together? So, what we'll do this evening, just teach a little bit, then we'll flow. Amen? So, this evening, I want to look at something I've titled, and I titled it, The Glory in Our Hands. The Glory in Our Hands. The Glory in Our Hands. So, I want to look at that ministry of the laying on of hands. Amen? Now, you must understand something when it comes to the ministry of the laying on of hands, that, you know, it's a solemn activity. Okay? It's spiritual activity. And the reason being is that, like we said earlier on, God doesn't do anything on the earth apart from men. Did we say that? That those that God walks through, you know, are men. So when you look at the ministry of the laying on of hands, you can see that as God meeting your needs via men. Are we together? You can see that as God meeting your needs via men. And one major advantage and benefit of the ministry of the laying on of hands is this. It cuts time. Are we together? What should be your experience in 10 years can be your experience in one day because of the laying on of hands. So, you know, it's not something that you joke with, right? Because what can be your experience in 10 years can be shortened to one day because of this ministry. Are we together? Are we following? Now, a lack of understanding of this ministry has led some to think that, you know, the ministry of the laying on of hands is deliverance. How many of you have heard that before? Then, you know, when someone wants to lay hands and then they say, is he doing deliverance for the person? But, you know, that's just born out of ignorance, because, you know, you don't have to be delivering someone from a demon to lay hands on them, right? The ministry of the laying on of hands can be simply to bless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see in scripture that this ministry of laying on of hands is a culture of God's people. Are we here? It's a culture of God's people. It's something that has been with us for a while. See Genesis 48. Genesis chapter 48. Verse 14. Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. It says that, then Israel stretched out his right hand. Know who Israel is, right? Jacob. Stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So we see here that, you know, this was from Jacob to the sons of Joseph, right? Right? Ephraim and Manasseh. And it carried so much significance that Joseph tried to use physical means to change the hands of his father, because the father put his right hand on the younger son and he put his left hand on the older son. And being a Jew, they would understand what that means. That is, you know, he's giving what belongs to the elder to the younger. So it carried so much significance that Joseph tried to use physical force, and then, you know, Israel told him, I know what I'm doing and all of that. But then look at something else that happened, you know, in that same text. When he laid hands on them, he spoke words over them. Are we together? He spoke words over them, and what he spoke framed their destinies. Amen. What he spoke framed their destinies. He prophesied their entire life. That in that moment. Are we together? So he after laying hands on them, prophesied, spoke words, and those words were their entire life. Are we together? So look at Numbers 27. Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and do what? Lay your hand on him. Now, this impartation was necessary because Joshua was going to take Moses' role as ruler of Israel. Amen? So he needed to be equipped for that office, right? So God tells him, lay your hands on Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit. Now, that term, in whom is the Spirit, can be misleading because it presents a presupposition that Joshua had the Spirit, right? In him, right? But then look at the textual. You see that the word is in italics, right? Yes, so that means it was not present in the original text, right? So let's do without it. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom the Spirit, right? Now, that word in whom used here is translated from a word. I'll give you the word. It's the word Ashar. A-S-H-E-R. Ashar. Now, that word has several meanings in the Greek lexicon. But in this context, it means according to. It can be better put according to. That is, it implies a choice. Are we together? So we can read this text this way. Whenever that word assure is used, you know, in this context, it refers to a preference or a selection. Are we together? So we can read it this way. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man preferred and chosen by the Spirit. Would it make much more sense if we say it that way? So, a man preferred, not that Joshua had the Spirit within. Because you know that the Spirit within is a New Testament reality, right? So, the word in whom there is to show preference, which is the word asher in the Hebrew. Which means, you know, chosen or preferred. So, it's simply to connect the ordination of Joshua with the choice of God or the choice of the Spirit, okay? Now, Moses did lay hands on Joshua. You see that in Numbers 27. You might want to turn there. Numbers chapter 27, verse 23. Numbers chapter 27, verse 23. He says that, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of who? Moses. Now, see the result of this. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 9. Everyone say, the power of God is here to meet my needs. The power of God is here to meet my needs. The power of God is tangible to meet my needs. Amen. Are you still praying in tongues under your breath? Okay. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. It says that noun. Notice that. What does noun mean? Noun. Amen. That is right now. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For what? Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Do you see that? Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom. Why? Because Moses had laid his hands on him. So can we say that when Moses laid his hands on him, there was an impartation. Something changed about his experiences. He started operating in some things he didn't previously do, right? Because he uses noun before he starts, right? Are we together? So Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. So we can say there was a supernatural enabling, right? By the hands of Moses. Are we together? Now, Jesus also was fond of laying his hands on to bless. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Are we there? It says that, then little children were brought to him that he might what? Put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not rebuke them. For of such is the kingdom of God. And he laid hands on them and departed from there. Hallelujah. So the children, the parents of the children brought their kids to Jesus. And they say what? They said what? Lay your hands on him. So the parents, being Jews, obviously understood the significance of this, right? Because Jesus was a prophet in Israel, and they understood what it meant for someone in that office to bless another via the laying on of hands, right? So they brought their children to Jesus because they probably reckoned in their hearts that his touch was no longer a normal touch, right? Right? There was something supernatural about its touch, right? Now, see Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Luke chapter 24, verse 50. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 50. It says that, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and did what? Blessed them. You see that? He lifted up his hands and did what? Blessed them. Look at Luke 4 verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Are we there? It says that when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he did what? He laid his hands on every one of them and what? Healed them. So Jesus healed the sick by laying his hands, right? Right? Now Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says that now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was what? Bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he what? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So, from Jesus' hands was power, right? From Jesus' hands was power made available to heal the sick, right? Now, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. I read, it says, "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and begged him to do what?" To do what? How would he touch him? Okay, so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. See that? And when he had spit on his eyes and what? Put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again. See, notice that? Do you notice that? So can we say that the first time the man was partially healed? Right? Right. So is it possible for the power of God to be ministered and the first time the person is partially healed and then hands need to be laid again? Okay. On his eyes again, and he made him look up and he was restored. Hallelujah. And everyone saw everyone clearly. So here we see Jesus first spitting into his eyes. Amen. And then, you know, he laid hands on him. So, we can say that ability to heal was in both. Right? Both in the spit and in his hand. Right? Now, doesn't mean you should be spitting on the sickle. Amen? So now, what about the believer today? I want to look at that now. What about the believer when it comes to the ministry of the laying of hands? Now, you understand something, which was something we said earlier, you know, in the teaching, in the course of the meeting, that when it comes to the Old Testament prophets, they never had the Spirit within, right? What they had was the Spirit upon, which was a temporary enabling for them to stand in their office. But for the believer in Christ today, he doesn't have just the Spirit upon, he has a Spirit within, right? So, he can bless, because the enabling doesn't come and leave, right? Like the Old Testament prophets, it doesn't come, it's not in the spirit at some point and then out of the spirit again in some point. No, the enabling never lifts. Are we together? Amen. So the Spirit and his enablings are forever in the New Testament. See John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Hallelujah. It says that, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you the same helper, that he might abide with you for how long? Forever." Amen. How long is forever? forever. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Are we there? It says that for the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Some translations have what? Without what? Repentance. So when God gives a man a gift, he doesn't take it back, right? So is the spirit a gift? Can God take back his spirit? Amen. So we receive the indwelling of the spirit once and for all, and that forms a union. See 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Now, the spirit comes with all of his abilities and becomes united with that one. Now, they begin to share the same characteristics. They begin to share the same ability. So, say, I have the ability of the Spirit of God. His nature is my nature. His power is my power. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, his touch is my touch. Say, my touch is the touch of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. It says that blessed. I remember we looked at this word blessed earlier in the teaching, right? I think that was yesterday, right? Is the word what? Hulogitos, right? And hulogitos means to speak well of, right? Or to praise. So it says, well spoken of, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has what? Blessed us. The word blessed here is the same word, but it's a different shade of the same word. It's the word eulogio. Eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. Eulogio. It means well spoken of. Now it says, who has blessed us with every, someone say every, spiritual word, blessing. And the word blessing there is eulogia. It means a praise or good speaking. A praise or good speaking. Then it says in the heavenly in Christ. So in Christ, God has spoken well of us. Right? And then we speak well of him. Amen? So the reason why God is worthy to be spoken well of is because he has spoken well of us. So you see it this way. God blessed us and now we bless him back. Amen. So say, I'm well spoken of in Christ. I'm well spoken of in Christ. Amen. And notice it says all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. So these blessings will be found where? In the Spirit. Amen. And what this would mean is that God looked at the spirit of the new creation or the spirit of the believer and spoke well about what he saw. Amen? So, and then, you know, he goes on to list all those good things. He lists them from verse 3 to verse 19. And remember, we saw verse 19 earlier on, right? It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him far above all principality and power and might and dominion, right? So we look that, so can we say that in Christ, tangible power was one of the good things God said about our spirit, right? So in Christ, tangible power is one of the many or several good things that God said about our spirit, right? So say God God has blessed my spirit with tangible power. God has spoken well of my spirit and tangible power. Hallelujah. So in Christ, we have a well speaking from God. A well speaking. He spoke well about us. He looked at our spirits and he saw the effects of what he had done and he spoke well about it. Right? Are we together? And you know why he spoke about it, spoke good about it, right? Because he formed a union with our spirits. And what he saw in us is what is in him. Amen? So he spoke well about what he saw in us that is in him. Hallelujah. So God spoke well of our spirits. See Mark chapter 16. Let's hear what Jesus said about this. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. Mark chapter 16 verse 17. Are we there? It says that, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will what? Take up serpents. Remember this from in the morning. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will what? Lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. See the word lay hands there? See the word lay hands there? So it's referring to, you know, believers. I know he's sending them out to preach now. And then he says that anyone who believes, these signs will follow them. Notice it doesn't say that, you know, these signs will only follow apostles or follow prophets or follow, you know, teachers or pastoring teachers. It says these signs will follow who? All that believe. Right? And then, you know, it talks about all these signs and, you know, it talks about their hands. And it says that they will lay hands on the sick and they, that is the sick, will recover. Right? Now, so we can say that Jesus Christ was instructing them, right? To go out to teach, right? Because it says go into the world, right? Okay, now can we see it this way? That Jesus did not only instruct them to go out. Jesus also instructed their hands. Or Jesus Christ spoke well about their hands. Huh? So we can say that in Christ, our hands are well spoken of, right? Our hands have been instructed by Jesus. And what were our hands instructed by Jesus to do? To heal the sick, to bless men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke up about our hands too. You know, so in the ministry of the laying on of hands, you don't have to be a pastor or a prophet. The only qualification for the ministry of the laying on of hands is what? Faith in Christ. Right? Faith in Christ. Now we see the sick healed via this ministry, you know, in the book of Acts. Let's just see a few places. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. It says that, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he what? Took him by his right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen. So you see that Peter reached out with his hands and what? Picked him up. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 28, verse 8. Acts chapter 28, verse 8. It says that, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and what? Healed him. So here we see Apostle Paul heal Publius' father by what? The ministry of the laying on of hands. Not only so, see Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So have we seen healing via the ministry of laying on of hands? Now look at Acts chapter 8 verse 14. Acts chapter 8 verse 14. It says that, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And what does that refer to? Utterance. Thank you very much. For as yet he had not fallen upon, or rather, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then the what? They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So we see that via the ministry of the laying of hands, men received the infilling of the Spirit, right? And they spoke with tongues, right? See Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 verse 17. Are you still praying in tongues under your breath? Okay, Acts chapter 9 verse 17. It says that, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may what? Receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So we see that Saul received the infilling of the Spirit via the laying on of hands, right? Now, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verse 6. Acts chapter 19 verse 6. It says that, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and did what? Prophesied. So what did Paul do? He laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Amen. So that means that the ministry of the laying on of hands can... Now, how many of you know you have the Spirit of God in you? How many of you know you have the gifts of the Spirit in you? All of them. Now, do you know that there are believers who have the Spirit of God in them? And they have, you know, the gifts of the Spirit residence within, but I've never followed in one. Right? So you know what the ministry of the laying on of hands does? It jumpstarts those gifts. In that case, I don't want to use the word dormant, but you know, gifts that have been left dormant and idle over the years, the ministry of the laying on of hands can jumpstart it. Okay? And now the ministry is not adding a gift, it's not giving a gift, it's just helping that person to yield to the gift. Do you get that? And that's what we see here in Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Now look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, rather, verse 14. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. It says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with what? With what? The laying on of the hands of the eldership. Amen? So Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him that something was given to you when hands were laid on you. And then he told him, don't forget what was given to you. Don't neglect it. That word neglect means to treat lightly. To not be concerned about. Okay? So he tells him that, you know, don't lose the significance of what happened when hands were laid on you. Don't lose the significance of the value that was added to you when hands were laid on you. Are we together? So Paul calls this valuable thing a gift. He says, neglect not what? The gift. Amen? So it's so tangible that Paul equates it to what? A gift. Are we together? Are we together? Now the word gift is the Greek word charisma, which refers to an endowment or an enabling. An endowment, a supernatural endowment, or an enabling, or a faculty. So that means that before hands were laid on Timothy, this gift that Paul talks about was not present. Are we together? It was not present. It was a miraculous faculty that was given to Timothy by the laying on of hands. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says that, therefore, I remind you to do what? To do what? Stir up the gift of God, which is in you through what? So if something came into him by the laying on of hands, can we say that before hands were laid on him, it wasn't present in him? Can we say so? Okay, please follow closely. See Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Are we together? It says that, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be what? Established. So Paul makes known his intent to visit the church at Rome, that he might what? Impart to them some spiritual gift. And how would this happen? How would this happen? Now, that word impact there is a very interesting word in the Greek. I'll give it to you. It's metadidomi. Metadidomi. M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I. Metadidomi. Now, metadidomi is a compound word. And two words come together to form metadidomi. The word meta, M-E-T-A, which means to change. And didomi, which means to give. Amen. So when metadidomi is used, it's used to imply a change of ownership. A change of ownership. That's metadidomi. Amen. Metadidomi. It means a change of ownership. That is, when I take of what is mine and I give to another, then it starts belonging to that other one. So I can say it this way, that when hands are laid, there is a, if you allow me to use that term, a change. Okay? Are we together? You know, we are all believers, right, in Christ. We all have the Spirit of Christ, right? But you know, we don't all have the same experiences, right? Right? Amen. So what the ministry of the laying on of hands does is that it makes the experiences of the minister become yours as well. That's what it meant by impact, metadidomi. So if you see a minister that teaches God's word very well, I know you go to him and say, sir, lay hands on me, so that, you know, well, not to teach God's word well, because you know the teaching ministry is also a, you know, it's a gift, right? But that enabling now becomes yours when hands are laid on you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Because we are all believers in Christ, but we don't all have the same experiences. So we must learn that and don't say things like, you know, and we are all believers, I don't need anybody to lay hands on me. That's wrong. Because, you know, while we are believers, some are ahead in the faith, right? And those who are ahead in the faith can lay hands on others to bless them. Amen? Are we together? So it's used for a change of ownership. And then you see the result it says that they would be established. The word established to me is the Greek word sterzo, S-T-E-R-Z-O, S-T-E-R-I-Z-O, S-T-E-R-I-Z-O, sterzo. Now, sterzo means to stand firm. It means to stand firm and to stand immovable. So the impactation will cause this to happen, right? Right? So when hands are laid on them, they will be firm, right? Are we together? So laying on of hands would affect their Christian walk, their Christian experience, right? Now see Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Are we there? It says that now in the church that was at Corinth, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, and one called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me what? Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I had called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, and what? Laid hands on them, they sent them away. So we see that the laying on of hands is also instrumental for the appointment of the ministry gifts, right? Right. Now, see Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. It says that, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they said before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they did what? They laid hands on them. So, for a ministry gift to be appointed, whether it's an apostle, a pastor, you know, a pastoring teacher, an evangelist, you know, or a prophet, it's usually done by the eldership in the church. Amen? And that's why the growth of every believer is in the local church. And this happens over time after you've been, you know, faithful in the work of the ministry. Then you are discovered in the local church, right? And then hands are laid that a ministry grid be granted. Are we together? And it's on the basis of this that 1 Timothy 5 verse 11, Paul says that do not lay hands on any man, how does it be, hastily. Right? Now, some have thought that, you know, if you lay hands on any man, the demons that the man has will come to you. You know, or the man's sins or the consequences of the man's sins will come to you. But when he says do not lay hands suddenly, it was referring to giving of positions of authority in the local church. Right? That is, don't, and you know, in another place it tells him, don't appoint a novice. Somebody who is new in the faith. So when you are appointing leaders in the church, don't be hasty to do so. That's what it means when it says that do not lay hands hastily. But you know the believer can lay hands anytime, right? Right? When it's time to bless, right? Right? Amen? But when it says do not lay hands hastily here, it was referring to the work of the ministry, offices in the body of Christ. Are we together? Now, having examined, you know, the ministry of the laying on of hands and its various functions, now the next question would be, how do I receive, right? From the ministry of the laying on of hands, having seen all of this, how do I receive? You know, how do I receive? How do I receive? Now, Kenneth Hagin said something, and I was listening to him before I came here. Kenneth Hagin said something. He said that when it comes to the blessings of God, or when it comes to being blessed in a Christian meeting, there is nothing wrong with the sending end or the giving end. There's nothing wrong. Because we see God's character in scripture. And God gives always, right? Right? He gives always, right? James chapter 1, right? Who gives to all men liberally and operates not, right? So our God is a free giver, right? Right? Amen? So when it comes to giving, there is nothing wrong with God's end. Kenneth Hagin said that. He said that rather, there is usually something wrong with the receiving end. Because God is always giving. So if you are not receiving, it's not from God, right? Right? No, if a river is supposed to flow through this entire place now, and the river is flowing through, and it doesn't get to you, And then the river is supposed to get to everyone. And let's say the river has a mind of its own. It's supposed to get to everyone. You know, we have to ask that, why are you the different one? Right? Because everyone are receiving, but you are not. Are we together? Are we together? So Kenneth Hagin says that it's usually at the receiving end, most of the time. And then he mentions two things. He said it's usually one of two things. Either a lack of faith or refusal to yield. A lack of faith or refusal to yield. That is, when the power of God comes, at you, you have a responsibility towards yourself. Okay? You have a responsibility to have faith that God is willing to give. And when God does give, you have a responsibility again to yield to that giving. Okay? So, you know, he explained some few things, and which I'll just share with us now. One thing he said is, come with expectations. Come with expectations. Come with expectations. Hallelujah. You know, he says that your expectations give direction to the power of God. Remember the woman in Mark chapter 5, the woman who had an issue of blood, right? And then Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal, to wake Jairus' daughter up from the dead. So we can say the power of God was going this way, right? And then she touched him with faith, with an expectation, and the power of God turned back. Are we together? So faith, your expectation are born out of your faith. Are we together? And faith gives a direction to the power of God. You know, he told the story about a man that was always coming for his meetings. You know, Kenneth Hagin would hold 1 week stretch of meetings, or 2 weeks sometimes. And then this man was always coming for healing, but he never received healing. And then Kenneth Hagin said that anytime he lays hands on him, he's always like he's laying hands on a cold doorknob. Amen. So, you know, it was always irritating him and all of that. So the man came the other day. So on the last day of the meeting, the man got to the venue of the meeting early. He was the first person to be in the meeting that day. Okay? And then when he came to the meeting, when the doorkeeper saw him there, the doorkeeper asked him, what are you doing here? It's still very early for the meeting. And then the man told the doorkeeper that, I will receive in this meeting. Something changed, right? His expectations, right? So he says, I will receive in this meeting my healing today when Brother Hagin lays hands on me. Are we together? I will receive of my healing today when Brother Hagin lays hands on me. So, you know, the meeting started and Brother Hagin saw him again. And Brother Hagin said, ugh, this one has come again. He's never receiving healing. You know, understand? Something like that. And then, before Brother Hagin could, touch him, the guy went off. Like, it was down on his back. And then, now, something interesting happened. Because Brother Hagin said, before he could touch him to lay hands on him, he felt what felt like fire come out of his hand and hit the guy on his chest. So, when that happened, the guy, you know, normally he's supposed to fall back, right? To the floor, right? When the power of God hits you, when you fall on the power of God, you're supposed to be on the floor, right? But this guy didn't go on the floor. He was on mid-air. It was on mid-air. Then he rolled on the air to the floor. Amen. It's in his book, The Healing Anointing. You can read it there. You know, the guy was on mid-air and he rolled on air to the floor. And he was healed. So something changed his expectations. And your expectations will do what? Give direction to the power of God. So when hands are laid on you, you don't just come out saying, let the power of God do anything he wants to do. No. You are to come with expectations, because your expectations are a product of your faith and they give direction to the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? So, you know, now, you know, Kenneth Hagin says something again. He says that anytime he wants to pray for someone who is healed, who is sick rather, for healing, he would ask him, do you want to be healed? Or if he's a guy that needs to be filled with the Spirit, he asks him, do you want to be filled? Because the truth is, some people come to the ministry of laying on of hands. They come to receive with no expectations. So when he does that, he does that to stir up their expectations, right? To let them know that, okay, you can actually say that, okay, this is what I want, and I will actually get it. I remember the first time I met my pastor, Pastor Tola Emi Adeniji, right now, he was supposed to lay hands on me because I was going back to school. So he was supposed to lay hands on me that day. And, you know, when he was about to lay hands on me, there's something he said to me in 2015, I'll never forget. He said that, see, Joshua, anything you want can be given to you via the laying on of hands. You know, he said, he made a joke. He said, if you want the roof to tear open and fire to come back from the sky and enter you, it's possible. All you need is your expectation. Hallelujah. So your expectation is key. Amen. Amen. For example, when a minister in a Christian meeting says, there are 10 people here, God wants to bless you. He says, everyone lift up your hands. There are 10 people here. God wants to bless you. Do you think that God chose 10 people in the congregation to bless? Because remember, God doesn't discriminate, right? So if God wants to bless, why is God blessing 10 people? Do you know that you can actually make 10 people 11 people? Because some people are in a Christian meeting and there is nothing on their heart, no expectation. So the 10 people that have expectations, those are the people God wants to bless. So you can say, okay, now, or rather, those are the people that are receiving of God's blessing. So you can say, okay, since that is the case, then I take up my expectation and you receive as well, right? Because it's the same God and he is generous to all, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So most of the time, it's usually because of a heart posture of those 10 people. It's not that God specifically chose some 10 people that he's going to bless. No. Are we together? Or, you know, you see a minister of the gospel come to a set of, especially in Kenneth Hagin's meetings. You see, there were videos I've seen of Kenneth Hagin that, you know, he will come to a specific spot and then just laugh and laugh and laugh, and everybody there will go, you know, fall under the power of God, and then some are looking. I never understood that, and I still don't understand it today, because I mean, that's Kenneth Hagin, right? I mean, that's Kenneth Hagin. And then it will come, and then there's some folks that, you know, people will be rejoicing in the meeting, and they'll just be sitting and be spectating and be looking around in the meeting. No. You know what you are doing? You are showing that you didn't come with any expectation. When Kenneth Hagin came to a place and laughed, and everybody fell, and you were the only person who didn't laugh, who didn't fall there, why is it you that didn't fall? Because when he laughed, power was made available to bless everybody there. Why is it you that didn't fall? Are you together? Are we together? It is based on your expectation. What you expect to happen. Amen? Are we together? Amen? You know, Kenneth Hagin will say something. He'll say, even if you don't understand the move of the Holy Ghost when it happens, he says, just start in the flesh. Now, it sounds funny, right? Like, sounds start in the flesh. Right? Like, why would Kenneth Hagin, the man of God, say start in the flesh? But see, understand what he's saying. You know, no one starts out laughing in the Holy Ghost drunk. You know that, right? You laugh, then you laugh again, then you laugh again. Then you get intoxicated. Amen. So when you are in a Christian meeting and people are laughing in the Holy Ghost, don't now sit down and be looking like this. Ah, what is going on here? What is going on here? Amen. You laugh. Even if you are not drunk, start in the flesh. And Kenneth Hagin says it won't last for long. If you start out in the flesh, you won't last for long. You will be drunk. Amen? So, you don't just sit down and be spectating and be looking. Amen? Hallelujah.
Ha ha ha! Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo!
As I lay hands on you, I want you to do two things. I have two desires in your heart. One concerning ministry and the other concerning your physical life. Okay? Something, it could be career, it could be your business, whatever it is. But I have two needs in your heart and they will be met by the laying on of hands right now. So let's be very orderly and just have, with the ushers just help us, let's just have people in the front row. Then we'll do that quickly. Amen. Remember, your expectation gives direction to the power of God. Have something concerning ministry on your heart and something concerning your earthly needs. For the rest of you at the back, keep praying. Keep praying and building your expectations. Come on. Keep praying. Keep praying and building up your expectations. One's hands are laid on you, it's done. It's done. One's hands are laid on you, it's done. So have your expectations. Your expectations.
For those whose hands have been laid on, let's just pray in tongues. Let's just go back and just pray in tongues. Let's just go and pray in tongues. Let's just pray in tongues behind. If hands have been laid on us. Let's just go behind. If hands have been laid on us, let's move behind. So we can have enough space for those whose hands have not been laid on. And let's just pray in tongues. Let's move to the other part of the room. Just pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, and receive more.
Hallelujah. Amen. Say, the needs of my heart have been met this day. The needs of my heart have been met this day. Your lives will never remain the same. Trust me. Your lives will never remain the same. Now, I'm not praying. I'm telling you a fact. Your lives will never remain the same. For those actively in ministry, go back and see the things you will see. For those in business, go back and see what will happen. Your lives will never remain the same. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ prospers in your hands from this day forth. It prospers. It prospers. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, it prospers in your hands. You will never look back and see a better yesterday. It gets brighter. It gets brighter. It gets brighter. 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 In the teaching of the word and the demonstration of the spirit, you will never be found lacking. Your lives will never remain the same. They will not. Hold the hands of the person next to you and just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Amen. 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 You are praying specifically for your ministries. Pray for your ministries as you are going back. Your ministries will never remain the same. Pray for your ministries. Come on, pray, 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 pray. More men are discipled. More men are discipled. You teach the word with accuracy. The word is taught with accuracy. From now henceforth, the power of the Lord Jesus is evident in your ministries. Is evident, evident, evident. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Pray for your ministries. Pray for your ministries. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Shabalabala dio, sapara diota, mata sapara galilu, sapara dio, sapara de, mas sabalabala bala bala dio, sapata alcata, e rabababababababate, e sakatabala dido do, sapara dios, e sabababababababade, e rakatale gilabara da gilosta, e samana veriga la biga da bira da dia barare, e sabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ prospers in our hands. In our hands. The ministry of the Lord Jesus prospers in our hands. More men are saved, more men are filled, more men grow in the knowledge of Christ. Hey,
The ministry of the Lord Jesus prospers in our hands. Hallelujah. 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 The ministry of the Lord Jesus prospers in our hands. More men are saved. Amen. More men are saved. More men are filled. More men are healed. More men grow in the knowledge of the Son. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him praise. Lift your hands and give him praise. Give him praise. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Come on, lift up your hands and give him praise. Sing with other tongues. Sing with other tongues and give him praise. With your hands lifted high. With your hands lifted high. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. For all he has done. Give him praise. Give him praise. Have your seats for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this runs off the meeting for this year. Were you blessed? Were you edified? Were you strengthened? Were you exalted? Praise God. Jesus is glorified. Amen. Jesus is glorified. In his church, he is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. He's glorified. I heard this for someone. The mission is actually possible. You understand? Don't be scared that when it comes to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, it will be said of you that you failed. You won't. Amen. You won't. The mission is actually possible. The mission is possible. This same you will teach the gospel with all boldness. This same you, you know, you will minister the power of God with so much efficiency. This same you. The mission is possible. Don't doubt him that called you sufficient. Don't doubt the words of him that called you sufficient. You are actually sufficient. Because your sufficiency is of him. Your ability is of him. So don't fear. Don't fear. The mission is actually possible. Concerning the gospel of Christ on this earth, it will not be said of you that you are a failure. It won't be said of you. You will disciple men in their hundreds, in their thousands. You will bless the hearts of men. You will bless the hearts of men. You will see this come to pass. Yes, you will. You will bless the hearts of men. So much so than you could ever dream. So much so that you could ever desire. For he called you sufficient. He called you sufficient. He called you sufficient. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that ends the meeting for this year. And you know, we'll be back again next year. October 13 and 14. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, many of us were blessed. Blessed, edified, strengthened. Bless God. Bless God. Yeah, one more thing. If you are a student of the University of Ibadan, and you know, this is how it came to me. You, after seeing all of this, there's a strong desire in your heart to start holding meetings. You are a student of the University of Ibadan. Please see me after the meeting, okay? There was just, after this meeting, you know, there was just this strong urge in your heart to start holding meetings. You know, God will have you do some few things. So I'll let you know at the end of the meeting, okay? So, once again, let me appreciate everyone for being here. Appreciate yourself now. I appreciate you for being here. Some of you traveled all the way from Lagos. Some people from Bayelsa. Some people from Port Harcourt. Thank you so much. It means a lot. Trust me. It means a lot. Thank you very much. Amen. And then our brothers in Christ from Ibadan who are here. Thank you very much for coming as well. Appreciate yourself now. Amen. And then also we thank everyone that gave towards making this meeting possible. Whether it was giving via service towards the meeting or financially. Because this meeting was made possible by several givers. Several givers, people who give sacrificially. So we thank every single one who did. And you know, we pray for you that you have much more in abundance to do and even to be a blessing much more. Amen. So, is there anything I'm leaving out before I stamp my hand and close the meeting for the year? Anything I'm missing out? Thank you, Pastor Seth, for coming from Port Harcourt. Can we give him a